Thanks for being with us as we are live across the nation, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. in the East. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Coming up, plenty of Monday Night Football to talk about. Jets and Dolphins in Miami, Bengals and the Broncos on a beatdown in the Mile High City. Then the battle between the Jags and 49ers spills into the postgame handshakes. That story comes your way in 20 minutes. And we'll decide which takes we like and which ones we don't coming up at 6:40. Chelsea, how you doing?
Yeah, good morning. Let's see how I sound, because I'm pretty sick today.
Oh, no. So
I apologize if my voice sounds terrible, and maybe we will not be getting the long monologues today. So keep that in mind. I'm doing my best.
What's going on? Mono? Mononucleosis? Like Sam Darnold back in the day?
No, I think I just have a head cold. So it's one of those things where you like sound worse,
and it's
worse in the morning. So you know how it is when you do a morning show. It's like, great. The time that I need to be the sharpest is the time when I feel the worst. So,
I get that. Well, good on you. That's what people say about you. You're a gamer. She's a gamer. When it's time,
people
you're not going to just be,
gamer.
Absolutely. You're not going to be sitting out like, oh, Chelsea's a little hurt today. No, you're in the game. You're going to play. You're not going to be like, hey, guys, I can't go today. When the team needs you, you're there.
I will say on a very serious note, I think I have the best attendance record of anybody on the network. I'm not even kidding. I think both of us do. We don't miss a ton of days, and especially during football season, so we are pushing through this, and I know I don't sound the best, but I am here.
You always find it, why is my phone open right now? You know how that happens. I mean,
open?
Like, you know, well, I don't mean, like, all of a sudden, Gemini pops on, like, hey, were you talking to me? Nah, I was just listening to your conversation, that's all. Just I'll have
as
like
always.
Cold. Yeah, I'll have cold remedies pop up. Head cold remedies later on this morning. The phone's always listening. Well, I hope you get to feeling better. And I know Justin Fields didn't make you feel great last night.
Well, I was all over it. I just picked the wrong side of attempts as opposed to yards. So I thought that Justin Fields would have a big day on the ground last night against the Dolphins. He did, but he did not get his attempts prop for me. So set at 8.5. I did this just in case he didn't get a ton of yards. He had 71 yards rushing, had a rushing touchdown, but only had 7 attempts. Time kind of ran out, and it felt like the game script was not quite as positive as I was expecting, because the Jets were playing from behind most of the night. So that was an L for me. But Jenks, an easy winner for you.
Yeah, it started off slow, and I thought, this isn't going to end well for this guy. But got some points in the second half, had Jets Dolphins over 44 and a hook. So 48 points last night with the Dolphins winning 27-21. Dongster was laying the 2.5 with Miami. That was a winner. So it's early, as it is here on a Tuesday, and you're 0-1. I'm 1-0. The Dogster is also 1-0. It is the Daily Tip here on the BetMGM Network. It is great to have you with us. If you're feeling great, if you're trying to decide, I don't know if I want to go to work today, you know what? You can take us to work, or you can lay in bed, listen to us at home. Whatever it takes, as long as we can win you some money and hopefully entertain you over the next 3 hours. And we were pretty entertained last night on Monday Night Football. Got a good game. Dolphins downing the Jets 27-21. The Dolphins laying 2.5. They were -150 on the money line, and again, the over hits. Tua Tagovailoa, 177 yards, 2 touchdowns, both to his tight end.
You take it to Gordon, Tua on the move, and flips into the end zone for a touchdown. The second time, it's Darren Waller.
The great Chris Fowler on ESPN. Waller, 3 catches, 27 yards in his first NFL game in 2 full seasons. Dolphins on top, 17-3 in the third. Jets will within a score when Justin Fields takes off on a 43-yard touchdown run, but the Fins answer right back.
Fields H-N, eludes a tackler, and scores! Miami does answer!
20 carries for 99 yards and that touchdown for H-N. Tua moves to 7-0 against the Jets as Miami's starter. Dolphins win their 10th straight against the Jets in Miami. But the big story that we'll be following today is that the Dolphins will very likely be without Tyreek Hill for the rest of the season. Dislocates his knee in the third quarter. Had to be carted off the field, taken to the hospital. Tough to watch, but at the very least, he was in good spirits. Dolphins really needed this one.
Oh, absolutely. Somebody needed to win this game, and at least the Dolphins got one at home. And I think from a betting standpoint, we saw this line, we thought to ourselves, how are the Dolphins favored? They looked absolutely, their offense came to play, and maybe it had something to do with this Jets defense not being nearly as stout as we thought it was going to be. But to me, the story of this game was the penalties. And the Jets had some really costly ones, including an offensive pass interference call that took back a touchdown. And it feels like the game could have kind of swung on that play. Jets finish needs to win this badly against anybody. You are not good enough to overcome those flaws, because the Jets had 404 yards of total offense. They still lost the game.
Yeah, when you're a team like the Jets, the one thing you can't do is, look, this is a bad football team. This is not a good football team. Part of the problem is they were really one-dimensional last night. Like, Justin Fields is just kind of running around trying to make something happen. And he can certainly do that. Like, he can throw and he can pass, but the Jets sort of seem discombobulated. And when you're turning the football over and when you're racking up penalty after penalty after penalty and you're playing sloppy football, and again, you don't have the talent to match up with other teams, you're just not going to win many games. And as we were talking about, going back over recent history, the Jets just don't win in Miami anyway. I don't know if it's the fact that the Jets have been so bad for so long. That's probably a lot of it. Part of it is the weather as well. But you can't go into a game like this against a desperate team and be that sloppy on both sides of the football.
Yeah, absolutely not. You just cannot afford it. Meanwhile, on the Dolphins side of things, I thought Tua looked much more confident in this game. We even saw him scrambling a bit, which I think is a departure from what we've seen, because obviously with somebody with that many head injuries, you probably don't want him rushing the football too much. But he picked out some, you know, nice first downs, even got a penalty called on him when somebody did hit him in the head. And you're like, oh no, oh no. Tua, why aren't you wearing a Guardian cap? It feels like it was made specifically for you, but you're not wearing it. But Tua did look better in the pocket. Like, I'm not saying he's going to be in the MVP race this year. I am saying he did look more confident, at least last night, as far as making his reads and making some of these throws.
Man, I'll tell you, what a blow to this Dolphins team and to their offense with Tyreek Hill done for the season. I mean, it's only a matter of time. He's going to have an MRI, he's going to have a CT scan, and they're going to check him out. But it would be stunning if we saw him again this year. And so for an offense that hasn't really quite been the juggernaut that it was a couple years ago, if you're Mike McDaniel, you got to be like, you got to be kidding me. Like, we finally get a dub and we lose Tyreek for the rest of the season. I'm glad he seemed to be joking around with teammates and seemed to be taking it in stride, because that's hard to do. And you saw both teams on each sideline sort of react to that injury. It did not look good. So you knew he was going to be done. But ultimately, if you're talking about production here, this is a big blow to Miami despite the win.
Well, yeah, when you only have one win on the
season. Yeah.
Season, you probably have. And even from a long-term perspective, think about, you know, he could have been trade bait, and he could have been somebody that you could have gotten pieces to build on for the future, and now that is something that is just a distant memory. So in all aspects, this is a terrible injury for the Dolphins.
Yeah, we kept hearing, too, that maybe he was going to go to the Chiefs. We heard that for the past few weeks, right? The Chiefs, well, they looked really good last week. They got Xavier Worthy back. Rashee Rice is returning after week six. But we thought, okay, in the interim, will they go back to Tyreek Hill to sort of boost that core until they get it full strength? Maybe they can get him at a more discounted price. He's trying out for Kansas City, and all that came to an end last night. As for the Jets, they are still searching for a dub under Aaron Glenn. He drops to 0-4 as the Jets head coach. Jets host the Cowboys on Sunday. The Dolphins visit Carolina. Elsewhere, in the other game on Monday night, the Broncos all over the Bengals, 28-3. Broncos were laying 7.5. Saw a little bit of buyback on the Bengals before the game because that number was sitting at 7.5. Doesn't matter. Broncos also -400 on the money line, and the under hits. Total set at 44.5. Bo Nix, a nice evening in the Mile High City.
Nix wants it on the ground. Touchdown, Denver.
Call courtesy of ESPN and Joe Buck doing the play-by-play. So then the Denver quarterback, after doing it on the ground, takes to the air.
On third down and two, Nix end zone, Sutton, he's got it!
Nix, 326 yards in the air, 2 touchdowns, that makes it 21-3 Broncos. J.K. Dobbins on the ground, 101 yards. The Bengals just never get close in this game. They got a field goal on their opening drive. After that, 8 straight punts. Gah. J. Jake Browning, 14 of 25, 125 yards. The Bengals with just 159 yards of total offense. They convert two third downs on the evening. I mean, the Bengals look terrible. They have to do something with Jake Browning. That offense is just dead on arrival.
Well, it starts with the offensive line, because the offensive line, as Joe Burrow has been so good at negating it, and he's been so crafty, Jake Browning is not the same deal. Like, it's a lot to put on his plate. And plus, this is one of the toughest matchups defensively for a team that relies heavily on wide receivers. Because think about the secondary for the Broncos on paper, at least. Pat Surtain is second, reigning NFL Defensive Player of the Year. So when you have guys that are getting covered like white on rice, and your quarterback is running for his life, it's just not a good combination. Because it's not a matter of T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase not being talented. It's just that Jake Browning can't get the ball to him.
Yeah, I know the line is bad. I feel like they got to do something with him, though. They got to bring someone in who can maybe sort of mitigate the issues on the O-line and just complete some passes. It's really difficult against the Broncos. You're not wrong about that. Jaquan McMillan was asked about the plan to stop Ja'Marr Chase last night. He was asked this after the game. He said the plan was Patrick Surtain. That was the plan. Just stick him on Ja'Marr and shut him down. And it worked. Chase had 23 yards receiving. But Jake Browning, now going back to last week against the Vikings when he was awful, has just been really bad. So they need some sort of spark on offense. And here's the thing. The Bengals are sitting at 2-2. It's not over yet. They could get Joe Burrow back maybe, what, start of December, I think, is when he's slated to return. They've just got to find a way to get to the postseason and then let Joey Burrow come back and maybe he can work some magic. But they can't have performances like this week in and week out where it's not even close. Like, they were embarrassed by the Vikings last night. That was an offensive abomination. And so, yeah, you're talking about two very good defenses. At the same time, you got to start stacking some dubs, because it's not like Jake Browning is going to go off here over the next few weeks and lead you on some sort of winning streak. You've just got to stack some dubs and get to the postseason, and I don't know if he's the guy to do it.
Yeah, especially when your next game is against the Lions.
Yeah.
And then you get the Packers at Lambeau. Then you have a divisional matchup against the Steelers. Then finally, maybe a respite when you play the Jets. Then it's the Bears and the Steelers again. So, like, the schedule in the short term is not looking super easy.
I'll tell you who's sitting there, down in the dirty, dirty. Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins just waiting for someone to give him a call. Give me a call. I'll be that veteran leader on offense. Nobody's just going to want to take him on. I mean, Double D's more of a Falcons expert than anyone here on the show. But if you trade for him, I mean, my God, that salary is so punitive that you've got to do something or work some sort of new deal or figure something out. You know, I'm definitely no cap expert, but anyone that looks at maybe bringing him in doesn't want to pay that price, so he's just going to sit there, maybe ride the bench. Michael Penix looked good last week, so he's just going to sit there, maybe come in during garbage time. I'm trying to think of someone who would be available for Cincinnati who could come in and just stop the bleeding for a while.
Yeah, but when you have such a bad offensive line, does it really matter? Like, yeah. That's the thing. Like, Joe Burrow was such a Band-Aid for that team that it's just like, okay, you signed Kirk Cousins, who's not exactly fleet of foot, and you're paying him a ton of money to do what? Maybe make the playoffs? This is not a Super Bowl team, because there is a litany of issues on this Bengals team that, again, Joe Burrow was covering up. The defense has all sorts of issues still, so it's just not a good team all around, so it feels like you shouldn't be hedging your future on a team that doesn't look like a good one overall.
I mean, I wouldn't hedge my future on them, and yeah, the O-line is bad, but that just goes to show, like, how much a great quarterback can elevate that offense. Like, that's how good Joe Burrow is. Like, I don't know why, over the years, the Bengals have not invested more in that offensive line, but it just goes to show, even with that terrible offensive line, guess who makes the Cincinnati offense look great? An all-world quarterback like Joe Burrow. So, certainly a guy like Jake Browning, who has mixed results anyway, like, he's not going to elevate that offensive line and that offense. So bring in someone who obviously is not going to be Joe Burrow, but someone who can come in and at least move the chains for a little while and keep you guys competitive to get you close to the postseason. Because the last thing Cincinnati needs after going through, okay, we're going to play in the preseason, we're going to play in the preseason, we're going to get off to a fast start. What happens? Joey B gets injured and you're off to a slow start again. So there's still time, but they got to do something. Coming up next year on the show, why worry about the next Jake Paul fight when we've got Liam Cohen and Robert Saleh? That is coming up next on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network.